Each year, the high school seniors write an essay on the theme, I will glorify Jesus with my sexuality. I often share some excerpts, as I will today. Most people will say that a temple is a sacred place used for the worship of a god, and so it shouldn't be corrupted. So why do we corrupt it? 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We were bought with the very holy blood of Christ to be the temple where the holy, righteous God dwells. Sexuality isn't a sin in itself. God made sex to be a blessing. It's sexuality outside of marriage that is sinful. In today's society, sex is promoted by what seems like everyone. They say that sex is a part of love, which is true, but they aren't talking about real love. If you have sex with somebody before they're married, it's not showing love at all. In fact, it's showing the opposite. Sex before marriage can destroy you and your relationship. Sexual sins are like a full rack of fresh homemade cookies. Your mom makes them for you to be a good treat for later, so she tells you you need to wait to eat them. But you can't help yourself, so you take a little nibble, and then suddenly, without thinking, you eat the whole cookie, and then the whole rack is gone, and you are sick. And there's no treat for later. Sex is like this because it can start out as a simple holding hands. You touch that other person, and you just get this adrenaline rush. Before you know it, you go all the way, and you didn't even know what hit you. But you can never get it back. Proverbs 6. A man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself. You're immediately hurting four people when you have sex outside of marriage. Yourself, the other person, their future spouse, and your future spouse. Not to mention all the family and friends you let down in doing so. And once you start having sex, it's very addictive and hard to stop. It's easier to avoid the situations which will cause temptation than to overcome the actual temptation and addiction when they're seizing you. 1 Corinthians 6. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. A girl may get dressed in the morning just thinking about comfort or looking pleasing to her own eyes. However, some guys may notice some extra skin or the figure-flattering tight clothes and have impure thoughts. I think all guys have fallen into this sin before. That impure thought is a sin. And though the girl may not have known it, she helped put the temptation before the guy. We have to be careful not to lead others into temptation. Or consider this example. You and your friends are walking through the mall and you see that Victoria's Secret has big posters of their models in skimpy underwear. And all your friends stop and stare and start making crude comments. You can remind them that in love for Christ, we want to flee sexual lust. And even if people make fun of you, know that God is well pleased. 1 Thessalonians 4. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we have forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Taking this passage verse by verse has helped me greatly in my approach to sexuality. God has given me a body, a vessel of the Holy Spirit. This body is sanctified, honorable, and pure through Jesus' death on the cross. I am to keep it that way. Getting caught up in lusts, like having sex before marriage, is acting like someone who, this passage says, does not know God. The world loves sexual immorality, welcoming it with open arms, excusing it as human nature, as natural as eating or sleeping. But looking at the law, we know that the Lord sees it as sin. We're told in Thessalonians, he is the avenger of those who commit these acts. By committing adultery or fornicating, we're not rejecting man. In fact, we'd probably be accepted by man. But what does that matter? We're rejecting God, our Heavenly Father, who blessed us with this gift of marriage in the first place. God's will for me right now is very clear. Abstinence until marriage. I know the consequences of this sin and the heavenly blessing for keeping this commandment. So this should be enough to keep me on the right path, right? Wrong. I'm a sinner, and I need constant nudgings to stay on the path God mapped out for me. Having a healthy, God-pleasing relationship with a boyfriend is difficult when everything in me and around me seems to be shouting that having sex is completely normal. When this temptation comes up, I need to know how to redirect my thoughts and actions. I found it helpful in part to think about my future husband. It's easy to get caught up right now in present emotions and think that the bond I have with my boyfriend now is strong enough to turn into that marriage bond. But I don't know who God finally intends for me to end up with. When I do meet him and we get married, I would hate to have memories of sex with another man lingering. How terrible it would be to find a husband but not be able to share that gift of sex for the first time together. Keeping that regret in mind, praying often and sincerely, and going back to God's Word helps keep temptation at bay. The Bible is the beacon of light in this dark world, and we need to follow that light to be safely led past all Satan's snares. If we need help resisting these temptations, Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. God protects us as an offensive line protects their quarterback. When a quarterback thinks he can do it all on his own, he'll be crushed by the destructive power of Satan's defense. He tries to run out of the pocket of God's protection and love and only is met with the collisions of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh that knock him down. God assures us that remaining behind him, he will protect us from the rush of the demons. Satan will try to fool us with tricky formations and illusions that make it look like something is right to do even when we know it will lead to trouble. God prepares us by enabling us to study His Word with our coaches. And if we do fall into Satan's temptations, fall short of the glory of God, we know that we can find peace with God. For 1 John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lamentations 3 tells us God's mercy is bigger than any mistake that we've made. This is our hope, our redemption. God sent His only Son to live the perfect life that we could not, to die the death that we deserved. Jesus never once failed to glorify God in his approach to sexuality, and that righteousness has been credited to you and me. You and I have been declared not guilty in God's court. And so out of love for God and this great mercy that He's shown us, we should try our best to keep our hearts with all diligence, to glorify Him in all that we do. May He grant us the strength to do just this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 655. 655.